Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhare. Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhare. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhare Jaya Gopijana Vallabha Girivaradhare Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraj Kacharya Ashto Tarashto Shri Shimaresi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Karantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaura Premanande Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotee All glories to the assembled devotee All glories to the assembled devotee All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna. Text number 39. This is one of those verses, fairly rare, where it's kind of easy to follow the Sanskrit line by line. I'll go through the word meaning. Anujanihi, please give leave, mom, to me, Krishna. Oh, Krishna. So, please give me leave, Krishna. Sarvam, everything, tvam, you, Betsy, no. You know everything. Sarvadrik, you are all seeing. Tam eva jagatam nato, you alone. Jagatam Nata, or Jagannath, the Lord of all the... Actually, Jagatam is plural. Lord of all the plural of the universes. Lord of all the universes. Jagat, this one universe. Etat, this. Tava, to you, Arpitam, is offered. So I offer this one universe to you. Anujanihi Mam Krishna. Sarvam tvam vetsi sarvadrik. Tvam eva jagatam nato. Jagareta tavarpitam. Anujanihi mam Krishna. Sarvam tvam vetsi sarvadrik. Tvameva jagatam nato. Jagareta tavarpitam. Anujanihi mam Krishna. Sarvam tvam vetsi sarvadrik. Tvameva jagatam nato. Jagareta tavarpitam. Anujani imam Krishna. Ladies. Translation. My dear Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Actually, you are the knower and seer of all things. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes, and yet I offer this one universe unto you. purport. In his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada has quoted Lord Brahma as follows. My dear Lord, although you are the Supreme Lord of all creation, I sometimes falsely think that I am the master of this universe. I may be the master of this universe, but there are innumerable universes, and there are also innumerable Brahmas who preside over these universes. But actually, you are the master of them all. As the super soul in everyone's heart, you know everything. Please, therefore, accept me as your surrendered servant. I hope that you will excuse me for disturbing you in your pastimes with your friends and calves. Now, if you will kindly allow me, I will immediately leave so you can enjoy your friends and calves without my presence. The words Sarvam Tvam Vetsi Sarvadrik are very significant here. Lord Brahma knows everything and sees everything. Lord Krishna knows everything and sees everything, and therefore Lord Brahma did not need to remain in Vrindavan to maintain his personal loving contact with the Lord. In fact, as the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma was somewhat out of place in the simple, blissful atmosphere of Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna was exhibiting his supreme opulences in herding cows, enjoying picnics, playing games, and so on. Upon seeing the intense love the residents of Vrindavan had for Lord Krishna, Brahma felt unqualified to remain there. He was not eager to give up the Lord's association, but he felt it better to return to his personal devotional service in Brahma Loka. Somewhat embarrassed and unhappy over his foolish attempt at bewildering the Lord, Brahma preferred to resume his transcendental loving service rather than try to enjoy the Lord's presence. Om Gyan Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Anujanihi Mam Krishna Sarvam Tvam Vetsi Sarvadrik Tvameva Jagatam Nato Jagareta Tavarpitam. My dear Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Actually, you are the knower and seer of all things. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes, and yet I offer this one universe unto you. This verse has two distinct parts. First is about Lord Brahma acknowledging something about Krishna, that he's the knower of everything and the Lord of all the universes. And second, that Lord Brahma feels that it's time for him to leave. He's caused enough disturbance. Lord Brahma has become humbled by this whole experience. In the beginning, there was some pride on his part. But now we've heard over and over again how he said, I really don't know anything about you. The verse we had yesterday was nice. I always liked this verse. Others may say they know something about you, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't know anything about you. You're completely beyond my body, mind, and words. So he's humbly admitting that Krishna has defeated him. So he acknowledges that Krishna is actually, in reading Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, it's quoting Srila Prabhupada from the Krishna book. He says, as a super soul in everyone's heart, you know everything. Please, therefore, accept me as your surrendered servant. A lot of times in Srila Prabhupada's books, we find therefores, and sometimes I say, well, what's the connection between these two statements? Therefore, one is following this, one is following the other. So here again, I looked at this and I thought, let's see. You know everything, therefore, please accept me as your surrendered servant. So what does Krishna knowing everything have to do with Brahma saying, accept me as your servant? So it seems to me what Brahma is expressing here, if we read a little bit more about what Prabhupada says, is that this is something we may think sometimes, is that why do I need to express anything to Krishna? Because he already knows it. just like a prayer. Why do I need to say it? Because Krishna already knows what I'm thinking. He already knows what's in my heart. So why do I have to say anything? But of course, part of the practice of devotional service is to express what is in our mind and heart. Well, maybe that's for our benefit, more than Krishna not being able to know unless we say it. But it's for our benefit. It's part of the doing something for Krishna, you can say, expressing something, doing some service by reciting or praising Krishna out loud and saying something out loud. And as far as accepting Krishna's, accepting me as your humble, your surrendered servant, as Brahma says, he may be expressing that you already know this, that I've been humbled. Of course, you may know also because I've said so much already. You may be able to understand that now, before I was acting so puffed up and unsubmissive, and now you should be able to understand, or of course, because you understand everything, you can probably see that I am your surrendered servant now. Despite the way I was acting before, now you can see that I'm your surrendered servant. I want to act as your surrendered servant. So he says that Krishna is sarvam tvam vetsi. You know everything, sarvadrik, you see everything. And one thing you certainly know is that I was so proud of being the Lord of this one universe, but you're the master of all the universes. Brahma's position is extraordinary, of course. We're the Lord of whatever we are, a few little things, maybe the car we drive or something. That's our domain. This word, six opulences, one of them, I've mentioned this before, it's one of them is Aishwarya, which is often is just described as wealth or opulence, Aishwarya. But the word Aishwarya comes from the word Ishwara. So Ishwara means what you have control over, what you are the Lord of. So, of course, we're the Lord of what? Not very much. But Brahma, imagine how puffed up he might be because he's the Lord. He has control over the whole universe. And when you have proprietorship of something, we say, then you feel like, well, it's yours. It's in your hands. There's that expression, proprietorship is 9/10 of the law. So the idea is that if you own something, then it's up to somebody else to say, you know, if they're challenging, they have to challenge you. You don't have to prove that if you have it. For example, if I'm wearing clothes, then you'll assume, well, that probably is. You know, the sweater he's got on is probably his. You know, if you come along and say, no, that's my sweater, then you have to prove it. Because proprietorship is 9/10 of the law. So it's not a legal fact, but it's an expression of something. So the idea is that when you have something, then you, of course, part of that is that you tend to identify. You think you own it. That's our problem, isn't it? We think we own it. The fact is, proprietorship is an illusion because we don't own anything. Anything we have can be taken away from us at any moment. Prabhupada used to make this argument about, you know, you think you're God. So if you're God, then you should be able to hold on to what you have. What is one of the qualities of God is that he owns everything. But you can't hold on to anything. How are you God if everything is going to be taken away? We know that we see in our own life, in our experience, things get taken away from us. Oftentimes we just say, we lose things and we say, how did I lose that? You say, I can't find this. And what does somebody say? Well, where's the last time you saw it? And you think, well, if I knew that, I'd know where it was. So things disappear. Especially as you get older, things disappear from us. So gradually, maybe Krishna's reminding us, huh? I'm taking it away. Because at the end, it's all going to be taken away. So we don't actually own anything. But whatever we have in our possession, somehow, Krishna, some things come into our possession by Krishna's mercy. So we're supposed to use those things in Krishna's service. So Lord Brahma is saying, well, I have, somehow or other, I'm in possession of this universe. I have some control over this universe. But I offer that to you. And now I'm going to get out of your way. I'm going to go back to my place where I serve you. This is a nice meditation of Lord Brahma's here. He's feeling that even though there's so much ecstasy being here in Vrindavan, seeing your Leela with these cowherd boys, but this is not my place. This is not my Prabhu Datta Desh. We have this term. I was thinking about it, and I looked it up in the database, and as far as I can see, it only comes up in one place. Prabhupada quotes it sometimes, but in our books, it's only in one place, and that's Sanatan Goswami uses it, where Lord Chaitanya told him to go to Vrindavan. So he said, Vrindavan is my Prabhu Datta Desh. It's the place where my Prabhu, my master, has given me for my residence, or specifically my residence to perform devotional service. So Prabhu Datta Desh means the Desh, the residence given by the Prabhu, one's master. So our Prabhu is the spiritual master. So the spiritual master also gives the place for one's service. I was thinking how in the early days of ISKCON, this was very evident. Most of us, when we first came to Krishna consciousness, in the earlier days when Prabhupada was here, most of us were single. Or if we weren't, the temple was very much the center, the focus of everything. And it was ingrained within us, especially as brahmacharis or brahmacharinis, that your temple was your Prabhu Datta Desh. And you were supposed to stay there. You didn't just independently take off. The idea was that this is where Prabhupada wanted you to be. Somehow or other, Krishna had arranged for you to be in this place, so you didn't just whimsically take off and go somewhere else. No, you were supposed to follow the temple authorities. Of course, there were abuses, but the principle was there, at least, that you just didn't independently. I know this is the way I thought, and I know many devotees thought this way. As brahmacharis, I stayed in the same place for quite a few years, and it was only extreme circumstances that I finally left. Lots of crazy things were going on. So, but that was the idea, that this is a Prabhu Datta Desh. So now, of course, we live in different times, but we can still take this principle. Somehow or other, this is where I am. So this is where I should serve Krishna. Krishna has given me this place for my service. Or we can say this situation. This was, I mentioned in my last class, someone asked about renunciation and family life. So Prabhupada didn't like the idea that we always think we have to change our external situation in order to engage in devotional service. Krishna has somehow made this arrangement for you. So in that situation, you should serve Krishna. Prabhupada, even in the early days of ISKCON, also he encouraged very much his disciples to use whatever talents they had in Krishna's service and not worry too much about learning more from the outside world, but whatever talent or education you have, use that in the service of Krishna. Of course, times have changed, but that was a principle that Prabhupada sometimes enunciated in his letters to his disciples. So Lord Brahma is thinking that way now, that this isn't really not my place. My place is Brahma Loka, and that's where I'm going to engage in devotional service of the Lord. And there apply the principle of whatever I have, use it in the service of Krishna. This idea of proprietorship is when we think that we own something, if we don't use it in Krishna's service, then we find in the Bhagavatam harsh words for such persons. Ishtan bhogan hi bho deva dasyante sarvakil bishay tayar dattan apradhayay bhyo yo bhungte stena evasa. In the third chapter, Krishna says that the demigods are supplying you necessities of life. When you perform yajna, they supply the necessities of life, and you have to offer something in return to these devas as representatives of Krishna. So in other words, you offer something in return to me. And anyone who doesn't do that is called a stena. A stena means a thief. So you're a thief if you're not offering it to Krishna, because Krishna is a proprietor and it's meant to be used in his service. This principle, this word comes up, stena. There's another verse by Narada Muni in the seventh canto. Seventh canto, Narada Muni gives lots of instructions on how to live life. He gives instructions for brahmachari life, and there's one chapter called Ideal Family Life. So there's one verse, Yavad Briyeta Jataram. This is one of those kind of extreme verses, you can say. Yavad Briyeta Jataram. Tavad Swatvam Hidehinam. Adikam Yo Vimanyeta. Sustena Stena Dandam Arhati. Danda means punishment. Arhati means deserves punishment. So who deserves punishment? One who doesn't follow this principle. Yavad Briyeta Jataram. Which means getting, literally the word says, the verse says, getting enough to fill your belly. That's what the verse says. It's similar to the verse in the second chapter of the Bhagavatam. Kamasya nendriya pritir labho jiveta yavata. That you're supposed to, in this life, get enough to live. Really, it says jiveta. Just enough to live. You should acquire enough to live. Because jivasya tattva jigyasa narto yascheha karma bi. Because life is meant for self-realization. So the principle is to acquire what you need to live. This is such a heavy instruction. Prabhupada often used the term to keep body and soul together. I often think, you know, these instructions like this, are we meant to really follow this literally? Whereas one way that I rationalize it, I say, well, I couldn't keep my body and soul together if my mind wasn't together, and I'd go crazy if I lived just on the principle to get just enough to eat and nothing else. So keeping body and soul together means keeping my mind and body and soul together, keeping it together. So we live in a certain time where we tend to accumulate more, but we should try to also remember the principle, not be mad after increasing. That's one of the six principles of six things that destroy devotional service. One of them is to try to get, always trying to get more and more, trying to accumulate more and more. So again, this principle of what we have, actually in that section of the seventh canto of Narada's instructions, in one purport, Prabhupada says one should invent some means of livelihood by which he can, you know, keep it together, maintain his body and soul together, and then engage in devotional service to Krishna. And in Rishabdev, in one purport, in the instructions of Rishabdev, Prabhupada says the householder accumulates wealth for Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, in other words, for devotional service. So he can engage in devotional service. But sometimes I wonder if this principle of yukta vairagya, if we can use it to rationalize everything, anything. I'm just, yes, no, I'm trying to make $1 million, but I'm going to use it all for Krishna. So we have to, as in many things, we have to check our motives in Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, of course, yeah, this is the principle. We have to accept what's favorable, reject what's unfavorable. This guiding principle of the devotee's life. Accept what's favorable, truly, with introspection. Just as Lord Brahma here, you could say, what is favorable to him is not to stay there. And you sense here that Lord Brahma is sensing that I don't belong here. One thing we see here is that Krishna's not responding. Brahma's reciting all these prayers, and Krishna's not saying anything. And Brahma's going to finish up and saying, okay, bye, I'm leaving, and Krishna doesn't say anything. We'll see after this, he'll go back to his pastimes. So he doesn't exchange, you can say, with Brahma. So maybe there's a hint there from Krishna to Brahma that, yeah, you're right, this isn't your place. Go back to where you belong, do your service there, and stop interrupting my fun here that I'm having with my friends. So Brahma has got gotten many realizations as a result of this pastime with Lord Krishna. Oh, the verse again, Anujanihi Mam Krishna Sarvam Tvam Vetsi Sarvadrik Tvameva Jagatam Nato Jagareta Tavarpitam. My dear Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Actually, you are the knower and seer of all things. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes, and yet I offer this one universe unto you. So, any questions or comments? Pran Govinda Prabhu. Oh, let's start with Madhumati this time.
I guess I keep on thinking about Lord Brahma, you know, what he's going through. And I'm thinking, well, yesterday I was asking, what did he feel since Krishna didn't say anything to him? And today I was wondering that, did he say that he's thinking to go back to Vrindavan as a response to Krishna not saying anything?
He's going back to Brahmaloka.
I mean, to Brahmaloka, yeah. That, okay, Krishna is not saying anything, you know. I'm saying all this is not saying anything, so I guess I should just go back to Brahmaloka.
Yeah, I mean, suggesting that might be that Krishna's making him a little uncomfortable
yeah.
by not saying anything. Like, all right, I guess I should just leave, and I've caused enough trouble here, so let me go. Yes.
34 bars actually give him the impetus of his prayer. Tad bhuri bhagyam iha janma kimopi atabhyam jad gokule. He gave very specific. Jad gokule. In this forest, in Gokula, I want to be jad angra raji abhishekam, that I want to be a body that dust will bathe me. So he did express, but there is one question raised by Sanatana Goswami Pad that Maunam Sammati Lakshanam, Prabhupada also quote that. In Dasharat, King Dasharatha's case, when Kaiki revealed what was her two boons that King gave, but Dasharat did not tell Ram to go. But why did then Ram left? He says, Maunam Sammati Lakshanam, that if somebody hears and remains silent, he is actually sanctioning. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he would oppose. So because Krishna is remains silent, he is actually sanctioning both. Brahmaji will want to come and get this intense mood of the gopis, loving service to God. At the same time, he also has to go back to his Brahmaloka for now.
Mm-hmm.
So actually without Brahma, we would never know all these beautiful pastimes, that how Krishna married all the coward girls, how Krishna became the calves, how Krishna became all the boys of all these mothers. Because eternally those things also exhibit, but here we are seeing that Brahmaji actually ignited the whole pastime episode, that Brahma, even Balaram was bewildered. So it's very nice. Brahmaji actually did a very nice. That's a Jogamaya's influence.
Is there any indication that Brahma ever made it to Vrindavan?
Yes, yes, yes. Brahmapuri, that the Srimati Radharani's birthplace, that's Brahmaji himself. He's holding.
Oh, Barshana is Brahma.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But this, if we go back to the Brahma Vivarta Purana, also says that this, when Varahadeva was lifting the earth, then Mother Bhumi, Mother Bhumi, she was praying. But then all of a sudden, her attention got caught that when land is soaked under water, generally it becomes stale, or what do you call, dirty, rotten. But she was very surprised, and then he asked the Lord, how is this? One place is beautiful, so gorgeous, even under water, it remained the most attractive place. Then Varahadeva smiled. He said, oh, that's my home when I come as Nanda Maharaja's son. So Vrindavan actually is not belongs to this world, but at the same time, it's his mercy that he manifests in this world.
Okay.
Also, even more, Brahmaji, not only did he become Varsana Parva, where he got the mercy to have the foot dust of Srimati Radhika on a consistent basis, but more, all the devotees of all the previous incarnations, they get that desire fulfilled by coming into Mahaprabhu's Leela. Mahaprabhu's Leela is actually the continuation of Vrindavan Leela, and all the devotees, what is the verse? Premaiva Gopa Ramanam Kamam Ityagamat Pratam Api Adaya Uruva Api Etan Vajanti Bhagavat Priya. So all the devotees of all the other incarnations, they will get that desire fulfilled by coming into Mahaprabhu's Leela. So when Brahma came as Haridas Thakur, this was the ultimate fulfillment of the prayers he prayed here in this in this chapter.
That question remains, what is exactly they got? Its idea is good, okay, all the associated faith in Madhuri, what did they get?
Oh. They got these four Madhuri. What the gopis, Prabhupada also gave in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the fourth chapter, that the Krishna is beautiful, most beautiful, but he's more beautiful with the gopis. And Prabhupada gave a nice purpose about it. The Krishna is the most attractive. Asumurdha, he always called this Asumurdha, nothing is equal or above. But still, Krishna's beauty supersedes his previous or moment, or you can say, when the gopis are around him. And when Srimati Radhika on the left side is the highest beauty. So that form, the Rupa Madhuri, Lila Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Benu, they got it in Mahaprabhu's Lila. That's feeling. That's very nice. So we are very fortunate, actually, Prabhupada gave us this.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.